Well, Wanda Fisher has loved baseball since she was 8 years old. She's parlayed that into her first novel, Empty Seats, which is not necessarily about her favorite team, the Boston Red Sox. Wanda, of course, is best known as the host of the Hudson River Sampler, which she has done right here on these airwaves since 1982. Wanda will be at the Bookhouse in Stuyvesant Plaza signing her new book on Friday night at 6 o'clock. She is here in Studio A with us this morning. And because I've been running around, we've had a mostly live show today. So the things I've had to do, I've done between the breaks. So this is the first I'm getting to say hi to you. So welcome. Good morning. And it's lovely to have you on the program.
Hi, Joe. And I ran into your previous guest when I was crossing the street. The guy from the book sale.
Yeah. Do they want to sell your book?
I don't know. I don't know. But he asked me. I said, "Oh, I heard you on the radio." He said, "Did I sound really bad?" And I said, "No, you sounded great. You sounded great. Made me want to come to the sale."
Yeah, they're great folks. Well, I know from talking to you here in the hallways of WAMC that you've been at work on this for a long time. So tell us how this came to be, the germ of this, and how it started to be watered, grown, and actually written.
Well, I had a particular person in mind at the beginning of the book. There was a person that I knew when I was quite a bit younger. We won't even talk about that. He had been drafted to play baseball. And so I had this visual of this person. So I had to have a visual of a person. And then I just sat down and started writing, and this just kind of came out. And somebody told me that I should never tell anybody that I just wrote the book, that I should tell them that I very seriously sat down and did this outline and had all of the everything, you know, on a big white page in my room and had it all figured out. But I just sat down and it came out. And I wanted the characters to be completely different from one another. They all had to be different. They all had to have different backgrounds, but they also all had to be from places where I had been and spent some time. So that's what I did. And I used some of the background that I had, places where I had worked. And worked that all in to the experiences. And when I had 200 pages, I went and had it printed out because my husband does not do computer. he uses the phone. He does stuff on the phone, but you really can't read stuff on the phone. So I went to the local office supply place, and I had the 200 pages printed out, and I went into him and I said, "Can you read this and tell me if I should continue? Because if it's really bad," and he reads a lot of books, and he said, "What's this?" I said, "It's my novel." And he said, "You're what?" I said, "You know, you think I'm just in the back room playing on the computer, but I'm not. I've been writing." And actually, you had somebody on last week about NaNoWriMo, and it started as a germ from that, too. I decided that I would participate in that.
National Novel Writing Month.
Right.
And they basically give you 30 days to turn out a novel.
50,000 words, yeah.
Right.
And I started that in 2015, and that's what started me on this.
So this seems to me somewhat of a universal story in the sense that what you're getting at here is that so many kids, young men, young women, boys, girls, start playing a sport, in this case baseball, and they're good at it. And then you think, oh God, I could be in the starting lineup for the Boston Red Sox or name your favorite team. And then you start winnowing down, and then you realize as you get away from your third grade Little League team and you move up through the ranks that there are a lot of other kids who may be a lot better than you are. And this is what you see. You have these people who are going through this life into professional baseball, and there's a lot, and then it's really a shot in the dark and one in a million chance, isn't it?
Yes, and the other thing was is that the time frame starts. It's 1972, and that's just when the Latin players are starting to come in, and make a big splash. even though we've had black players in, they're not as influential at that time as they became just about 5 or 6 years later. And so the other thing that I try to put in this book is you make decisions that are going to impact the rest of your life. And this could be a young adult novel.
Yeah.
And I was thinking while I was writing it that my daughter who teaches middle school could use it in her classes. And I have a friend who teaches in Amsterdam now, someone I play tennis with, who's writing a study guide for middle school and high school teachers that could use this book in the classroom.
You talk about this, these huge decisions that they have to make. What strikes you in the novel, and I guess in life too, of course, but especially in the novel, that these are decisions that are being made by kids. These are 15, 17, 19-year-old kids. Who have to make these enormous decisions.
And also, you know, I used to sing the national anthem a few times over at the Valley Cats, and I got to meet Jose Altuve, on whom I have a baseball crush, I admit, and George Springer and a couple of the other guys. But there were also many guys who never made it out of the single-A ball that, you know, the short season single-A ball that they have at the Valley Cats. And they were good, and they never made it out of there. They stayed with families. They got sent around to meet people and learn how to meet and greet people, and they signed autographs. And this was a real thrill for them to sign autographs at the time, but they never got out of there. Jose Altuve, George Springer, Dallas Keuchel, those people did get out of there, and they moved their way up. And when you watch them play at the major league level, you can see why.
Yeah. I was struck in the novel because you write in what I would call bursts. They're short chapters, mostly.
Yep.
They're bursts that move the story along. So it goes at a pretty good clip, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what I had in mind, too.
And was it similar in the writing? I've heard it both ways where writers have said, yeah, except that little burst took me like 9 days to do. Or did you find it just sort of erupting out of you?
Well, it went in bursts, and there was a lot more of it. And then my editor, who was the fabulous Kitty Sheehan from Woodstock.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
Said to me, we have to cut a lot of this stuff out. And I learned a lot from Kitty as well. And I was kind of introduced to Kitty by Martha Frankel, whom you know very well.
Yes.
And so Kitty did the edit, and I think that she made it all the better, cut out a lot of things that I put in there that I thought were absolutely important, and were not.
So this is a very talk showy question, and I apologize for it. I try to stay away from those as much as possible, although it is a talk show, so if not here, where, right? So that is the old adage, write what you know. You are a baseball fan. It seems to me it makes perfect sense for you. If you're not going to write about folk music, well, I'll write about baseball.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, back in the 60s, this is a very talk showy response. I wanted to be a sports writer when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was 15 years old, I was walking by Fenway Park back to Kenmore Square, and I ran into a guy named Rick Reichardt. He was a center fielder for the California Angels of Anaheim, and he was one of the few guys back then. It was probably 1962-63, and I went up to him and I said I recognized him, and I was talking to him, and I told him that I wanted to be a sports writer, and he kind of stopped me and said, "You know, I just want to tell you that you seem like a really nice person, and if you pursue this, you're going to be in for an awful lot of trouble. The guys don't want women in the locker room. They don't want women in the clubhouse. And you need to rethink this." So I went home and did what we always did when we were kids. I wrote him a letter, and he wrote me back, thanked him for his conversation. And I never pursued that. And the glass ceiling back then for women was not really breakable at that time, as far as I could tell. There were some women who were writing about sports, but they weren't going into the clubhouse, and they weren't going into the locker room at that time. They are now.
They certainly are, although still not at the numbers that you would hope for.
Not in the numbers that you would hope for. And it really makes me so happy to see women who are reporting on sports When we first moved out here, Liz Bishop was a weekend anchor in sports at WRGB, and it was really great. The Hall of Fame has a section on women in sports, in reporting on sports. So in my acknowledgments, I acknowledge Rick Reichardt for saving me from that. So that's one of the things that, yes, I would write about, but those are the little things that happen to you in life that you remember. But it didn't deter me from going to games and loving the sport. Right. And there were a lot of girls who went to these games that wasn't the reason they were there.
But this is almost better because you get to make up the story. You don't have to write what's happening. You just get to make it up.
You just get to make it up. You create the characters and do terrible things to them.
That's... Well, which isn't really the case. I mean, you don't do horrible things to these characters, do you?
Well, yeah, one of them I do.
Well, I mean...
Well,
but...
two of them, actually. Two out of three. So I'm batting 333.
So the obvious question, the other obvious question is, would you do another one? Would you write another book?
I'm actually writing another one. I'm writing two, actually, about two different characters in this book. One of them is about the grandmother of one of the guys. She was a suffragist, so I'm writing about her.
Yeah.
And then I'm writing a follow-up novel about these guys 40 years later.
You mentioned this at the very beginning, and I meant to follow up on it right away, and I didn't, but that is... The idea of placing this novel in the 70s, was that because sort of that's the time when you were coming up and wanted to do that, or did you think it was of that moment where different nationalities were coming into the game that made it interesting to you?
It was both. I thought back in the 70s, and the game was different then too, and I wanted to show people that it was different, and I also wanted to show that there were no cell phones.
Yeah.
You couldn't just pick up your cell phone. You couldn't just say, well, let me look that up on the computer.
No. You could actually win bar bets by not knowing anything.
Yeah, really.
You can't do that anymore.
You can't do that anymore.
Do you think, you said it was different. Do you think it was better?
I'm not sure. In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. I think that the kids who were playing in the lower levels at the time didn't have the expectations of making millions because they didn't make millions back then.
Right.
And just last week, a prospect for the Red Sox was 17 years old and he died from cancer, and he had just signed a $3 million contract.
Tragic story.
Tragic story from Venezuela. And, you know, he had just signed a $3 million contract. So, you know, back in the 70s, if somebody got a bonus of $10,000, that was a lot. $15,000-$25,000 was a lot of money back then.
The average salary, what, $3.5-$4 million for a major league player? I think the lowest minimum salary is $500,000. It's still a lot of money for an 18-year-old kid.
It's still a lot of money for an 18-year-old kid. And you can make decisions that are bad, and they will stick with you for the rest of your life.
Well, the book is just a delight, and Wanda will be at the Bookhouse in Stuyvesant Plaza signing the new book, which is entitled Empty Seats. Empty Seats. She'll be at the Bookhouse in Stuyvesant Plaza on Friday night at 6 o'clock, and you can find out more information by going to bhny.org, bhny.org, and of course, Wanda will be back on these airwaves on Saturday night.
And you can also go to my website, which is wandafisher.com, Fisher with a C.
Excellent. Wanda, a delight. Congratulations on the novel. I know you've been working very, very hard on it. It's a delight to have you here talking about it.
Thanks so much, Joe. I really appreciate
it. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.